Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Second hour DDC on this Wednesday morning. Sunny Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's having a great day so far. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Derek, you were talking about the different sets, different looks. You may have 400 passing plays going into training camp in your playbook, but ultimately in the season, you may use 40 of those plays.
Yeah, it because it's out of different formations, whether it's heavy, whether, you know, heavy is too tight, typically one wide receiver, whether you have it out of three wide, whether you have it out of four wide, you know, it's all the same. They're all the same plays, but they're ran different. They're all the same plays, but in different formations and different personnel. That's why you have to be creative, because it's not like, it's sort of like real estate. Listen, they're not building new land. So you got to be creative on what you build on the land that you have. You know, that's why now you could buy less than an acre and throw two houses up there, you know, two houses on it here in Davidson County. Because why? They're not building anymore. You know, you're trying to get more land, more houses on a piece of land. And that's sort of how it is with football. It's like, listen, they're not making up new plays. They're not designing new plays. What they're doing is putting it in the same place, different formations, different personnel. That's the creativity and working, you know, catering it toward the talent that you have on your team. I didn't see that this year with the Tennessee Titans. They wasn't as creative as they were in previous years. And I think part of the problem was when you go out, because, you know, experience this my half a season with the Jets. You go out and you get these players and all of a sudden you think we have to be this type of team. Well, no, you don't have to be that type of team. Just be creative and work with the personnel that you have. You know, the Titans went out and got Julio Jones. All of a sudden now, oh, we got to be this throwing team. We got to, you know, AJ has to get his balls. Julio has to get his. You know, everybody has to get their touches. Not necessarily. You don't have to be that way. You have the personnel. You work with the personnel that you have. It doesn't mean that now you have to become a passing team. You don't. You still, everything still runs through Derrick Henry. And when everything runs through Derrick Henry in your running game, your passing game benefits, you know, because now you're creative with what you're doing. We're not running anything different. We're just being creative out of different formations and different personnel. Again, I didn't see that this year. Maybe it happens. I mean, last year. Maybe it happens this year. I don't know. But if you're going to be a coordinator in this league, this, the way they play football now, you have to be creative. Why do you think they talk about McVay so much and these young guys? They don't talk about, the person. They talk about the creativity that they have. When you talk about McVay, they say creativity. You know, Andy Reid, he's been in the game a long time, but he's creative.
Because innovation, he's creativity.
He's changed with the times. You know, Green Bay's head coach, I forget his name, slips my mind right now.
LaFleur?
Yeah, LaFleur. They say he's innovative. They say he's creative. It helps when you have Aaron Rodgers,
right,
but still, he's creative in what he's doing. Offensive coordinators or head coaches that aren't creative and aren't not innovative, and is not trying to push the game, they get left behind. And if Downing doesn't get creative with what he's doing, he's going to get left behind. He's not going to be a coordinator for long in this league.
I think that's a really interesting insight. So what percentage of it is that? What percentage of it is the feel during the game, right, of just knowing what play to call at the right time?
Because that's part of it, too, right? That's a part of it, yeah. You have to be able to.
But you would put creativity ahead of that in
importance? Have to be creative enough to adjust your game midstream. That's why I think Andy Reid is one of the greatest play callers ever. It's because of the way he's able to adjust in games. That's why Bill Belichick, he will go down as the greatest coach ever. Because he's creative. He's creative. I've never seen this with a head coach. Like, Bill Belichick, he caters its offense to what you're – like, if you play a team that's heavy on a run or heavy on a pass, say you are the best passing team in the national – pass defense team in the National Football League. And we know that when they had Tom Brady, they threw the ball around the yard. If they know you have the best secondary and safeties in the game, they're going to change what they do right then and there. And they're going to become a heavy run team. And they're going to get creative with their run game. And then that allows them to get creative with their pass game. You don't see too many coaches that can adjust on the fly. And again, if Downing doesn't implement that philosophy, and if he doesn't get creative, then he's going to get left behind. And I don't care how loyal you are to a person, to a head coach. If that loyalty is going to cost you your job, you're going to think twice about, hey, listen, man, we tried, but I'm not going to sacrifice myself and the other coaches because you can't change or you can't become innovative. We saw the last coach do that. And what happened with him? They fired him because he wouldn't change. He wouldn't change certain coaches. So they fired him. Well, if Downey doesn't have a good season this year, he's going to be in a position that the last coach was in. Either you move from this offensive coordinator or you got to go. One of the two. I know you're loyal, but you can be loyal somewhere else.
But has Mike Vrabel operated like that?
But he hadn't come to that. It's never come to that because I don't know why the last coach is slipping my mind.
You talking about Mularkey?
Yeah, Mularkey.
With Terry Robiskie?
Yeah, Robiskie. He wouldn't fire Robiskie.
Yeah.
And he was loyal to Robiskie. And he was loyal to his coaches, period. And he lost his job. Well, if Mike Vrabel, if that offense doesn't get going, and you tell Amy, I'm sticking with this guy, Amy's going to look at you like you're crazy. Like, I get it that you're loyal. I get that. I commend that. But I'm loyal. As a owner, I got to be loyal to the city of Nashville and, you know, to those ticket holders. I got to be loyal to them. So either you change that offensive coordinator or you got to go. So he's going to have to show that he belongs in that seat, meaning Downey. So this is his year to prove it. I don't know if he can or can't because last year was his first year. But if he can't prove it this year, as a head coach, it's his responsibility to try to get someone because they do it to players all the time. You can't cut it. I don't care how loyal you are. He claimed he was loyal to A.J. Brown. What happened? A.J.'s in Philly. Downing, if you can't get it right, then you got to go. Plain and simple.
What makes it difficult is if they keep winning at the clip that they are, he can't really force that because he can say, but we're winning division titles and we're going to the playoffs. So,
but if you're not getting to the Super Bowl, then what? Because ultimately, that's the goal, is to get to the Super Bowl. If you're not getting to the Super Bowl, then, hey, listen, we got to make some changes.
Yep. And it's tough because you can change a lot. It still doesn't mean you're going to get there.
But then your fans get mad.
I know. That's
stay status quo.
It's so interesting to me how we've had a version of the same discussion over the years with the Titans and the Predators. Mm-hmm. And different levels, different mm-hmm. years. But
yep.
It all comes back to the same thing. It's a very difficult thing to get to win in the playoffs. It's hard. And get to where you ultimately want to go, get a championship.
Well, what happens is when you break down a door, then the mindset changes with the fan base.
And right? also, mm-hmm. also
ultimately, that's
winning,
what happens, right?
Also, yeah. let's take last year with the Titans and 2018 with the Predators, where you felt like you had everything you needed when the playoffs started. Now, there was the tough thing was you had to go through all of those things for the Titans in the regular season, missing Derrick Henry for a half a year. It would have been nice to get him back a couple weeks before, mm-hmm. but it didn't happen. But they did have him in the playoffs. They had the healthiest version of themselves going into the playoffs. So you felt like you had a chance to win. You worked to get the number one seed in the home field.
But there was no creativity in the offense.
But what I'm saying is you had a chance to win, mm-hmm. and the Predators were the President's Trophy. They had a chance to win. And they didn't do it when they had the chance. That's what you look back on and you say, because there's teams that, like, we always use the Marlins, right? Awful for a lot of years, but all of a sudden they were good the 1 year, and they won it. They won the whole thing.
Yep.
They're like, wait, man, we'd love to have that 1 year where you win it. It's so hard to do.
We'll see what the head coach has to say when we come back. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel next. We'll flip things over to Mike Vrabel whenever he takes to the podium, which should be any minute here. We'll get back into the Titans. Did you guys see this? We never brought this up. Did you see this whole Tommy Pham and Jock Peterson story in baseball, the slap?
Did you not listen to – we had this conversation. This was
the fantasy football thing?
Darren, we do a segment on Monday. It's called This Is What I Know.
Yes.
We discussed that whole thing.
I know, but did you see the extra layer about Mike Trout being the worst commissioner in fantasy sports?
That's come out in the last day, in fairness. But did you see? I was talking to you about it on Monday. You just made the list.
Okay.
You just made the list.
Now he's going
to
make the
list
again.
Do we need to play the tape? I mean, we had this discussion on the air. We had it.
Mike Trout, you just made the list. The worst commissioner in fantasy sports. That's a quote.
Mike Trout?
From Tommy Pham.
Apparently, Mike Trout is the... Now, I don't know if you... Derek, you weren't on the show when we did this. But I don't know how much money is on the line for this fantasy football league, but this guy went over and slapped a player on the opposite team and got suspended for 3 games because of an issue that he was allegedly cheating in the fantasy football league. Jeff Wilson of the 49ers apparently was the player. He got injured... And there was unclear what the rule was, whether you had to take him off your roster and replace him or you could put him on IR.
Mm-hmm.
And they explained this whole thing after the fact because this bizarre thing happens. In batting practice, Tommy Pham went up and slapped him in the face.
Slapped Mike Trout?
No, he slapped Jock Peterson.
Oh.
But Mike Trout is the commissioner of the league. It's a bunch of players who are in the football league.
Stupidest thing
it's
ever.
So dumb.
I guess there's a lot of money involved.
Well, that's what Tommy Pham was saying. He goes, look, there's a lot of money. Except,
all right, let's pause. We'll pause. Let's hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel.
Seriously, though, you've got so many starters coming back on defense. In the offseason, what's the process of trying to build on what you were able to do last year and improve, if possible, going into a new season?
Well, we always have to improve. We have to find ways to improve, and I think that when you look at a lot of the guys that have played for us over the last couple years, whether that be Kevin, Jeffrey, Harold, Amani, those guys have improved, and they've played a lot of football for us. And that's I appreciate that on my end that guys that are very good players and have been for us have continued to try to find ways to improve. And we'll continue to look at ways that we can help them with scheme and also to continue to work the details, the technique, and fundamentals.
When a guy like Harold has a career high, might it be something where you may not be able to improve on, say, sack totals, but other areas of the game, other facets?
Well, we're not really trying to focus on sack totals. I mean, I think that's great, our ability to affect the quarterback, and there's a lot of ways to do that. And I'm hopeful that the guys that we send and you know, that are pressuring the quarterback can find ways to affect them. And so if the sacks come, great, but we have to affect the quarterback.
Each year it seems like you've had guys step up and become leaders of that defense. Coach Bowen had mentioned that David Long is really coming along. From your perspective, how is he as far as grabbing that mantle as one of the leaders?
Well, I mean, I think just his ability to be here to work and compete. You know, David's a passionate player. I always appreciate that about him. You know, I feel like our relationship has gotten better since, you know, each and every year. And, you know, try to harness some of that passion that he has. And, you know, it's just been good to see him continue to grow in our scheme and an understanding of what's going on.
Like Trey Martin was more active, doing more things today than when we last saw him. Would that be accurate? And are you seeing signs of progress?
You know, I don't really track, you know, each and every guy's daily. You know, I see the mileage, I see the speed, but I don't. I would imagine that that's consistent with everybody that's been out there. That, you know, good speed, good workload. So, you know, I'm not saying that it was just going to be more or less, but. Today, there was good work.
Albert Breer said Monday morning quarterback, a lot of teams throughout the draft process were turned off of Treylon Burks' weight. How have you seen his conditioning kind of come along since he's come to Nashville?
Who said that?
Albert Breer.
I mean, we're excited to have Treylon. You know, we feel good about each and every guy we draft. That's why we draft him. So, you know, he's gotten better each day that he's been here. You can let Albert know.
Treylon did ask us to ask you if we're wondering about the inhaler. He said ask the Braves about it. So anything you can add, Braves?
No. I mean, I think that some guys need inhalers. I mean, Carter used one before, and, you know, his brother didn't. So I don't know. I just rely on the trainer and our medical staff to try to take care of these guys and communicate with me. But I do feel like everybody here has gotten in better shape, and especially coming off the long weekend.
How normal is it for, especially for a rookie to come in this time of year and be a little behind in conditioning? Obviously, they hadn't played in a while.
Well, you just understand what the process that they go through as far as, you know, getting ready for everything that they're training for as a speed-based measurement at the combine, short distance, explosion. And then we're asking them to come here and start performing some football that's done over the course of time that could be 6 or 8 seconds long. You know, they go on visits, they go through a draft process, they go to a rookie premiere, which are all things that we know. And so we have to be a part of the solution to getting them ready to play football. And I think that's what we're doing here, and we'll continue to do it. It's why we keep them, you know, 2 extra weeks after our veterans leave from veteran minicamp, and those guys can stay and really start to make some strides in conditioning.
Got some changes in personnel, obviously. How much will the ideas of Tim Kelly also kind of influence where you head in the passing game?
I think that every coach that we bring in with the idea that they're going to be able to bring input, and that's something that I have to make sure stays consistent, whether that be Chase on special teams, Jim Schwartz, Tim Kelly, and anybody that we bring in. They have to, you know, feel comfortable enough to have a voice in the meeting room. Ultimately, I make a decision, but Todd and Shane and Auk would do that, you know, before I would. And then ultimately I can, you know, say, hey, I really like this, or, you know, let's go in a different direction. I'm not trying to just explain it. When you leave a meeting room as a position coach, you have to feel comfortable that the ideas that you brought forward, you know, were heard, they were talked through, and then ultimately, you know, the coordinators or the head coach made a decision that was best for the team, and then you move on. And I think we've done that. I think everybody's tried to bring ideas, so I don't think that would be any different with Tim.
Just because there's no contact doesn't mean he can't make significant gains with his punch and his upper body. How much can a guy do on stuff like that off the field in the off season, and how much do you expect him to gain between now and the start of camp in that department?
Well, I think, you know, not having pads on, you know, the sometimes the targets aren't moving, and even in a jog through, you know, you saw just with a little bit of addition to the third down that we had today, you know, those guys aren't sitting ducks. They're not just going to stand there. They're going to move. They're going to go different places. They're going to run games, and And I think that this was a good way for us to see some of that and then start to continue to rep some of that, that, you know, it's easy to maybe get better at a stationary target, but we're going to have to really improve with movement and handling movement and games on third down.
What did you like about DeMarcus Walker that made you want to bring him here? Maybe what could his role potentially be?
Well, I think the role, you know, Jim, is he's showed versatility throughout his career. Flight him all the way back to Florida State when I was in Houston, you know, trying to figure out where he may fit, whether that be standing up. You know, he's played in multiple positions across the front, on the edge, inside, plays with great, you know, effort, which I, you know, appreciated. He wanted to be here, and, you know, it's been really good so far.
Understanding that Petit Frere's only been here two and a half weeks or whatever, there's a long ways to go, but does he have a level of maturity that's sometimes unique for a guy his age coming in, and have you seen that so far?
You know, I think the maturity, I think that's really hard to identify right now. I don't think that there's enough stress, you know, on these guys physically with the rigors of training camp and, you know, day after day. But I think that he's, you know, he's come in, he's worked hard, tried to study, take advantage of the opportunity that he's gotten. But, you know, some of that stuff's hard to define until, you know, there's a lot more in play with tickets and family and everything else that goes along with it. Right now we're just trying to bring him along. And I think Chick and Mitch and Dr. Sheila all help on that maturity, you know, with the rookie program and, you know, what they can offer them after we get done with them here with football.
As things continue to develop for Dylan Radins, are you guys getting to a point where, like, you see him at a particular role as opposed to multiple ones?
I don't know right now. I mean, I think that, you know, he's been working predominantly at, you know, right tackle, but, you know, we'll kick in there inside based on, you know, the rotation that Keith wants or who he wants to look at. And I don't think that right now is really the time. I think those guys are doing a lot of stuff together, and the jog through stuff really is toned down a little bit.
When guys have had footing issues at Nissan Stadium, you've made it about their shoe selection.
I've never once said a guy got hurt because of his shoe.
No, but you said guys need to choose their.
Come on now.
Okay, clarify what you said there. I'm wondering about some
about
of the guys.
A foot injury on a stadium.
No, I didn't say anything about injury. I've said when they slip. Your indication has been it's
I mean, we just joke about having shoes that work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm at all still cutting.
Are your guys' shoes all broken out here? Because they seem to be falling bit.
Sometimes you cut off the wrong foot. Sometimes the grass is slick. I don't know. We've got 80 guys here working, and it's all the same condition. So, we got to stay on our feet, whether you're covering a kickoff, whether you're covering a punt, and you're a gunner. Whether you're a wide receiver running a route, usually bad things happen. If a guy falls down on a kickoff, you know, bad things happen. If a receiver falls down and he's getting the ball thrown to him, chances are, you know, it's going to be intercepted. Offensive lineman slips, the quarterback gets sacked. Running back slips, fumbles the ball. You know, so we got to stay on our feet.
Maybe differently from Dylan here during the off season as he gets ready for year two than maybe you were seeing as a rookie.
Well, we didn't have him really. You know, I mean, we didn't have an opportunity to see him and grow. And I think his conditioning level is really good. I think he's recognized that can be a huge advantage for him. You know, over the course of 65 or 70 snaps, you know, you're going to lose a couple matchups. I mean, that's the nature of this business, and that's why it's great. And so, I think he's going to try to take care of his conditioning to make sure that's one area where he can, you know, consider a strength and then continue to develop, you know, the other skills needed to play offensive line.
Rookie kickers are usually long shots to make a team. This kid, Shudak, has a real strong leg. How do you try and assess those guys when you evaluate them in terms of knowing if they can handle the actual pressure of, you know, what it takes to be an NFL kicker?
Like, what do you consider a long shot? Like a 10-1 at Belmont?
No.
Or
I'm
like
just saying,
12-1?
Usually
Churchill
kickers
kind
of bounce around a lot before they find a home. Very few of them go one place and stay there.
We've tried to provide competition. Those young guys have a strong leg. And I think that the competition in practice has been good. You know, we'll have to see them kick in the games, in the preseason games, and then, you know, ultimately make a decision, you know, at the end of preseason. But, you know, just like everybody else, they're going to get an opportunity to win a job.
Josh Malone had a big catch today. Local guy. What have you seen from him the last 2 weeks?
speed, length. I think he's gotten better. You know, we didn't. I tried to explain to the team that wasn't the greatest start to the offensive. You know, 7-on-7. We took a break, did special teams, and then that's what you have to do. Hooper has to come back and make a play. Josh has to make a play. You know, but then we can't put the ball on the ground. So I think that these practices can be great reminders too. You know, sometimes you don't start the game great. We've been in that position, unfortunately, before. Defensively, it's like, okay, you started out pretty well. How are you gonna finish? So Josh was a part of that process of coming back and making a play after, you know, probably a below average offensive period.
Your early impressions of Roger McCreary and how he's acclimated into the defense. Coach Bohm was saying how he just seems to be competitive even in the meeting room as a rookie, just in terms of getting information. Just
it doesn't say a whole lot. You know, I mean, just kind of shows up, does his job, has a good demeanor, has a really cool DB demeanor that doesn't get too discouraged. You know, every DB and every player gets beat, and he doesn't seem to get too discouraged, kind of comes back and lines up and tries to play the next snap. We're giving him a lot of information. He's playing inside, playing outside. So, you know, it's just a good early start.
It looked like the defense was kind of all over the ball, just around the ball a lot during some of those reps today. Roger had said after that that's kind of been a point of emphasis, trying to make plays on the football, trying to force turnovers there. Is that something that you've been kind of preaching, and how do you feel like they're doing of that?
Well, we've always been preaching it, and we've always practiced it. I thought we improved last year statistically at the number of, secondary PBUs or linebacker PBUs, something that wasn't at the line of scrimmage from a defensive lineman where, you know, you see guys stabbing through the pocket and using good technique and being close enough. So, I think it's a fine line out here. We have to take care of each other. We'd like to stay up and, make sure that we're avoiding contact at all possible here in off season. But it was good to see.
Will you use all your OTA dates? And what are some things you do when you're not on the field for OTAs?
I don't think we'll probably use entire, gamut of them. But, I think today, today was a good work day and some heat. Tomorrow we'll come back and we lift, we meet. I try to take advantage of that time. Still have an opportunity to walk through, get the veterans out of here, and then walk through with the rookies. I think, that's been really beneficial. So, when we're not practicing, they try to get a good lift in and get some really good meeting time in, watch the tape from today.
How's that they didn't want to pigeonhole Dylan? I understand you're seeking versatility out of all of those guys, but wouldn't it be good to be able to pigeonhole a second-round pick, say, we have a hole at right tackle. Oh, here's a guy we drafted to play right tackle. He's our right tackle.
I just want to keep working on him and develop him and give him an opportunity to earn a role.
Now, everybody comes back from injuries differently, but you impressed so far with Robert Woods and what you're seeing out here after ACL in mid-November?
Yeah, these guys don't have to be here. You know, they don't have to. It's not mandatory that they rehab here. And it's great that he's here being a veteran leader, and I know that, him getting injured is nothing he could control. You know, he's controlling what he can control, which is his rehab and where he does it and the attitude in which he does it with, getting here early. And it's been really cool for Caleb to be with him and, as they go through their rehab process.
Would you like things more cemented up there, Mike, by the end of minicamp?
No, I don't think that's something. It's really, again, it's hard to evaluate offensive and defensive linemen without pads on. You know, I mean, we're running these plays as a jog through to install and get guys to know what to do. And so, the evaluation for offensive and defensive linemen isn't going to happen before June 13th. I mean, we'll identify guys that we think have a potential to help us. But then once we get to training camp and pads come on, there's always those guys that end up, just surprising you. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel will come back, continue the discussion on the other side. I think a couple of players are going to speak as well. You'll hear from that here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. There you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel back here on the DDC. Our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. You'll need that AC to work today, maybe the next couple of days. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York-certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Tune in today. Very special announcement at 5 o'clock. And I'm not laughing at that. I'm just laughing. Mike Vrabel already in mid-season form talking with the media today.
Got a little testy. irritated.
I was laughing because Derek and I were listening, and when Caroline asked the question, I was impressed with her quickness, how ready she was for – who said that? Albert Breer.
Well,
we had the
she was ready
because she was ready. She
you
was
know
ready for that. Yeah,
he's the coach that'll ask.
Oh yeah, he'll come back and challenge. Well, so she was ready for the challenge. Yeah.
Well, who said it?
Albert Breer.
Albert. Oh, okay.
And he had to stop for a second, and we said, "Wait a minute, I'm not going for this." And then he gave his stock answer that, you know, it's just we were the theme to me. He's been reluctant to give you a lot of detail on Treylon Burks and Dylan Radins. Those are the two guys that get asked about the most, and he gives the least.
And why do you think that is? What's been his trend since he's been here?
I mean, it's basically how he operates, but it is interesting.
Because
there are some other guys that
he'll
give a little more.
Why? Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. Why? What do you think? Derek, you know the answer.
He's concerned about him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you. Survey says
that's what you
number
would
one.
Think. That's what you would think.
Well, that's been his history since he's been here. That's all we can go off of. Typically, if he's got things to say, he's impressed. He likes you. He likes the way you are carrying yourself. He likes what he sees. You know, he's willing to talk. If he doesn't, if there's certain things he doesn't like about, whatever – whether it's film study, whether it's lifting weights, whether it's how you carry yourself, whether you're present, whether you're not present, whether you're always hurt or not hurt, he typically shuts down on those guys. I mean, how many times did you hear me say last year, is it me or does Mike Vrabel not really like Julio Jones? There's something about him he doesn't really like. He never was gushing about Julio Jones, was he? No. No, he was not. So, look, that's – to me, Treylon Burks – I'm willing to give him a pass. Man, I was getting ready to say May. It's now June, OTAs. Man, he just got here, okay? He is fresh. He is a baby. Dylan Radins, a little bit different story. Like, there is getting the point, and we're not there yet, but we're starting to get to the point of when does this fall into the concern folder or concerned folder, right? Because, okay, he spent all last year basically developing. He had the one game, the 49ers game. Now we're in year two, and this is a year, dare I say, they need him. They need him to be a starter.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Vrabel's still giving canned and short answers on Dylan Radins. Not really glowing, not really saying much, which to me, again, signals – just from him being here now, what is this year? What was this, four or five? What is this?
This is year.
It's at least four.
No, this is only year two.
No, for Vrabel?
No, I was talking about Dylan.
Year two. Yeah, is it for Vrabel?
Vrabel, this is four, isn't
is
it?
Is this four or is it five? So five. Whatever. Since he's been
this
here.
Is fifth.
I was going to say, this could be fifth. Okay.
Yeah, this might be his fifth year.
This is how he operates.
He's got a 9-7 where they missed on the last day with Mariota.
Right.
Then
the
run to the championship, and then the last 2 years, division championships.
There you go.
So this would be the fifth year.
So this is the fifth year. Five. Okay? That's enough body of work to understand how the head coach operates. And he's still not willing to say much about Dylan Radins. To me, that's a concern.
Well, here's the biggest concern is that you drafted him in the second round.
Yeah, and there's the other part to it.
Exactly. So you've had your first rounder that isn't playing, and Caleb Farley.
Not play. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, they talk about the first round offensive lineman that doesn't even play in football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even mention him. Yes, you're right. You got the first rounder that isn't playing no more. You got a defensive back that you drafted injured. He's not playing. Now you got a second round pick in Dylan Radins that you're not sold on. You're not happy about. That's three picks in the first two rounds. There should be some concern. Mm-hmm. Somebody's not doing a good enough job at evaluating players from time to time. Now, again, they've hit on other players. But when you have three guys that were drafted in the first round, one is not playing anymore. The other had injury issues coming in, and he still has injury issues. And then the other one, you're like, I'm not impressed so much that I can't even put him nowhere on the offensive line right now. Not just at right tackle, but I can't even put him at guard. That's a big red flag.
Yeah, look, I understand, and I was laughing, okay? I understand not trying to – I know the media, they're trying to, like, place everybody right – the starting lineup, or they're trying to place every position. Like, I understand why the questions are being asked. I also understand why the head coach is not willing to go there, because this just in, especially at that position, or as an offensive lineman, you are required to move around unless you're basically Taylor Lewan, right, or Ben Jones for the most part. Although he could
play guard.
Yeah, he could play guard. But these guys do move around. And so why would he commit to something? Like, I do understand that. But I also know that he's not willing to give much on Dylan Raidens. He's still pretty hush-hush. He's pretty quick with his answers on Dylan Raidens. But I do understand. Like, to me, it's not concerning that he won't name him the starting or the – not starting. How about a right tackle? Or a left guard. He won't go there. Like, I understand that, and I'm not surprised by that. That's what he does, and, oh, by the way, a lot of coaches do that. Like, I don't blame him for that. I understand why the question's being asked, but the fact that he's still not willing to talk about – I mean, this is year two, and there's really no new news on Dylan Raidens, right? That to me, is in the concerned folder. And to what you just said, Derek – you get enough of these that stack up in a file. The general manager, it's not good, right? I mean, you already have, like, you can't, there's nothing you're going to do about Isaiah Wilson. Like, that's long gone. Like, that ship has sailed, and that was literally a wasted first-round pick. Wasted. Just flushed right down the toilet. You got nothing for that. You need something from Dylan Raidens. And by the way, Caleb Farley, it's still a mystery. Who knows, right? Who knows what they're going to get from him? This is year two for him. So what does he bring to the table? But I think they could probably, and tell me if you guys agree or disagree. Maybe you can do it on the other side, because we'll start the third hour. We'll hear from Titans wide receiver Robert Woods. But do you think – I think they need – it's more important for them to rely on Dylan Raidens this year than Caleb Farley. You guys want to touch on that on the other side? Which one do you think they need more? If you had to pick one or the other, which one do you think they need production out of more? I know the answer is both, but I'm saying if you can only pick one that they're going to actually get real production out of this year, who does it need to be? And who do you think it's going to be? We'll do that to close up shop for hour number two next. Another OTA day for the Titans. They've wrapped up practice. We'll hear from Robert Woods to begin the third hour of the program. Also, Kevin Byard in the third hour as well. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. The answer needs to be both. They obviously need production out of both. But what if the answer can only be one? Who do they need more production out of if you could choose between Caleb Farley or Dylan Raidens? Derek, where would you start?
Caleb Farley, I think the defense is good without him. And I think they realized that, hence they drafted McQuarrie out of Auburn.
Which, Roger McQuarrie, yeah. There was a little bit of – he was willing to – him and Josh Malone, there was a little bit of –
he talked about them some.
Talked so he's, about he's a little bit.
Impressed
yeah.
with them.
Yeah.
So I think they're comfortable. The more and more they see of McQuarrie, the more comfortable they will get with the idea of him being the guy instead of Caleb Farley. They hope they can kind of sort of seamlessly transition him in and everybody forget the blunder they made with Caleb Farley. Because McQuarrie is so good at that position that they sort of forget about, Caleb Farley. So I think the defense would be fine if Caleb's on it or not. The offense and the offensive line, I think, is a major, major problem right now. If there's not too many teams, and I know everybody will say, well, look at Cincinnati. Well, had the Titans showed up to play for four quarters, they would have beat Cincinnati because of Cincinnati's inept to, you know, to protect their quarterback.
Nine sacks.
Exactly. So Titans should have won that game. If you don't have a – take them out of it. If you don't have a line that can protect the quarterback and give you lanes to run in, your team is basically just, you know, they're just floating in the water, hoping and praying that things go their way, that they're able to get a few plays. We talked last year. Well, Tannehill didn't have enough time to throw it downfield. Derrick Henry didn't have really the lanes he wanted to run in that he had the year before because of the offensive line and the shuffling and guys being hurt. Well, if they can't solidify this offensive line this year, they're going to have the same problems, and we're going to be talking about the same stuff over and over again. And I can't see this team getting far without a really good offensive line. I just can't see it.
It's interesting. I that's a good argument. I went the other way.
Because they depend so heavy on the run game.
Yeah, I get it. Look, you made a good case. And like Darren said, the answer is you'd love to have both. But if I picked one, I pick Farley. I just think philosophically, you never have enough corners. You need a lot. Not necessarily for one particular game. Like you said, there's not a lot of teams that have tons of weapons, but you might have one. But if one goes down, you need the other guy. You just need that depth. And I think you can just more easily find a suitable offensive lineman than you can a suitable defensive back. So that's why I would say Farley, just because of the position that they play. Like, I just think that, you know, Raiden's, I know there's a lot of emphasis because he's a second-round pick, but I feel like they, if it doesn't work out for Raiden's, it's not like they're just sunk. But Farley, first-round pick on a defensive back, you got to get something out of him. I'd like to see him play. Just play for 6 weeks. See what it looks like. He hasn't been able to play.
From Dylan. Dylan hasn't played either. One game.
No, he hasn't been injured, though. He hasn't been good enough to get in there.
Yeah.
Well, that's even worse.
Well, I was going to say, I know. Actually, that's worse.
I know, but they have other suitable guys.
On the offensive line?
At least to this point. We don't know how it's going to be in the season. Now, he did get in there for the game last year and survived, I guess. The concern for me is Farley hasn't been able to be out there to play. And even during his college career, he didn't play much. So he desperately needs reps. But I just think my answer is defensive back, because you never have enough defensive backs.
Ironically, isn't it crazy? Like, these are both great case studies, right? Because as we just laid out, for different reasons, they haven't been on the field. And they're two guys they desperately need on the field and production from. One is because he can't stay healthy. He can't get out there. He can't be upright and available. The other, right now, doesn't seem like he's good enough, which I don't know how much that's going to change. I mean, it's rare that you draft a guy in the second round, offensive lineman, and you've got him basically in the G League.
Second rounder, I buy to a point, but I think history is full of examples of offensive linemen who take a year or two before they get it.
No, you're right. But I'm saying if he hasn't gotten it now, like, if they're looking at him and they're trying to evaluate him now and they're still, like, scratching their heads, then the time is running down, because once they get into, fall camp, they're going to have to make a decision. Is he our guy, or do we need to bring in someone else, a veteran guy?
You think they need to – so training camp, they need to know?
I think training camp, they need to know. They need
like
to know.
Like behind the scenes. I know they're
yes,
not going to say
the
it
scenes.
Publicly.
Yes, behind the scenes. But I'm telling you right now, they have an idea now. It doesn't take – now, they may be – there are some coaches that are stubborn and just like, I'm not going to – I'm just going to give them – I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it. They know now. Whether he's like, or he's, okay, he can develop. These guys know. These GMs, these head coaches, they know. They know after the first year that, especially if the guy's healthy and he's been practicing, they know if he's a guy that, okay, by year two, he's going to get better. Because we've seen flashes. We know what it takes to play in this league, but we see it in him. He has something in him that we believe that is going to elevate the next following year. These coaches know it. If the coaches don't know it, I'm going to tell you who knows it. The players, they know it because they're watching him every day, and they see him. Those guys on defense, they know if Dylan Raitt's the guy or if he can play. They'll tell you right now. If you ask them honestly, off the record, they will probably tell you one way or the other. They know whether this guy has a potential to be a starter or a backup in this league already.
So players amongst themselves, like privately.
Oh, of course, man.
You know. You're saying you know?
Yes, you know. Because, guys, here's the deal. When you're practicing against a guy, you know whether, okay, this guy has something in him. He can play.
Yeah.
He just needs some time to develop. And then you know other guys like, this guy. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to name his name, but a guy that the Titans drafted when I was there, defensive back, first rounder, when he came out there to play, I knew he wasn't the dude. I knew he wasn't the cornerback. I knew it. You bet, put him at safety, yes, but he's not an NFL cornerback. You know it after some days of practice. Like, this dude, nah, he ain't going to cut it. Mm-hmm. You might want to switch positions. He's not a starter. You might want to switch positions. You know that. So if players know it, coaches knows it too, but coaches tend to be a little bit more, we drafted him early, so we got to give him another shot.
Well, the GM, the front office is going, hey, I need you to
exactly.
make this work.
Well, the second rounders and the first rounders will always get that extra
longer
time.
Leash.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, if he was like a Bill Belichick who had already won Super Bowls, you know, Bill don't care. If you can't cut it, you're out.
Right.
I don't care if he drafted
right.
you in the
yeah,
second
round.
We're
not round. Waiting for you.
Yeah, we're not waiting. That's what I'm saying. These coaches know right away if you're a player or if you're not a player.
We'll come back. We'll start the third hour. We'll hear from Titans wide receiver Robert Woods. He was at OTAs today. We'll hear what he has to say next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.